Blog Talk Radio.
Serving up the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
Yeah.
Boy up the runway. Sir, boy up the runway. Sir, boy up the runway. Sir, boy up the runway. Boy up the runway. Sir, boy up the runway. Sir, boy up the runway. Sir, boy up the runway. Yeah.
Good evening. Good evening. I am Wildman, your butler. And I am here to inform you that the House of EVC presents to you Clue Roll. On October 9th, the House of EVC takes over New York City. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the ball begins at 8 p.m. sharp. Please be on time because we will begin the ball without your presence. The date of the ball is Saturday, October 9th. Here are some cash prizes. Male figure best dress, $500. Female figure best dress, $500. Legendary femme queen performance, $500. Legendary butch queen Vogue femme, $250. Butch queen runway, $1,000. Femme queen face, $1,000. Schoolboy realness, $250. Legend team battle, $1,000. And house with the most points, $1,000. Plus, there are many more intriguing categories and cash prizes. Reminder, you must have an ID stating that you're 18 years of age to enter the building. There's absolutely no glitter or spray paint allowed on premises. Tables are $250. The address to the ball, 504 West 43rd Street between 10th and 11th Avenue, New York, New York. Please see flyers that are circulating in DVD format for more details. Or check walkmewednesdays.com. And please remember, I do like to keep this place tidy.
Hi, everybody. What's going on, Kelly? did you see Derek's number? I don't know how you're going to communicate. If you can answer me by Yahoo, I guess. But hi, everybody out there. What's going on? I'm just trying to get Derek on. Tonight's topics will be on ballroom categories and the meanings of ballroom categories. So if you want to call in, if there's a category that you're not too sure about or that you feel that doesn't sit right with you, or maybe you need somebody to explain it to you, me and Derek are going to be on tonight, and we'll explain it the best we can and give you the meaning of it as best as our knowledge can take us. So, I mean, when everybody gets a chance, call in. Okay, so anybody want to call in? I was in Miami this weekend. I went to the Rico Milan Ball. It was an experience. I wish I would have seen Jasmine there. But she didn't come to it. But I had fun. It was really nice, everybody. I was surprised that the scene in Miami is as growing. So, you know, like, wow, I was surprised. Since I've been going there for the last couple of years, it's really grown a lot. I got to see a lot of people. I got to see Eric Mugler, which I haven't seen in many, 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 many years. I got to see Rico. I got to see Warren that I see pretty often now that I go to Miami. But there was a lot of people there that, like, a lot of people I haven't seen. Danny, a lot of people. And it was fun. You know, I always go down there and just have a great time. Their balls are pretty fun. They have a big rivalship between them, all the houses, and they get together. It's really fun. It's just, you see different people. Kelly, is there any numbers up? Anybody? Did you see Derek on there?
Put your hands together.
On the base. The real. The real. Wait, hold on, wait. The legendary. The legendary. Kelly is right.
What's going on, Cabot? How you doing? Fine, what's going on, Kelly?
Nothing much, just chilling. Hold on, we got a caller. 347-385. You're live on the air on Classics Tuesday. How you doing, caller?
Hey, what's up? This is Derek.
Hey, Derek.
I knew that was Derek. I knew that was his number.
It was me. I'm sorry. I'm walking home. I'm just getting home. I'm walking home from school. So, I'm just ready to rock and roll. And I think basically this segment of Cabbage's show, Kelly, will be very, very, very productive about people understanding categories. I think I'm realizing that in these past couple of years that, you know, people read a flyer and they really don't understand what it is that they actually read. Categories are not that hard, but, you know, of course, when you read a category, there's 12 different, people make 12 different interpretations of it. So for people to understand the origination of the category and probably what the category has actually come today, it helps out so much better when it comes to being creative and walking your category and doing what needs to be done. So if there's people on the line that have questions about a particular, what's the definition of the category, the origin of it, who are the people that started it, who are the legends that have made fantastic moments in it, you know, we could just get the ball rolling, you know?
Okay, and then, well, 410-833, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays. How are you doing, Carla?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine. And you? I had a surprise for you guys, but I had invited a girlfriend of mine over so she can have tea with us, or maybe just me and Derek. But you know, Miss Kelly, you're always welcome to join in on our tea party. And I would like to introduce the legendary Joseph Princess.
Okay. This will be good, definitely. Hello, Joseph.
Okay, well, I'm going to let y'all go back to doing what y'all do. I'm over here getting my dress and everything, and my dress and my hat made for the EV Super Bowl. So I'm going to let y'all go back, honey. I'm going back on mute, honey. If y'all need me, y'all hit me up. Switch train got my information. I'm going to mute.
All right. So, Switchboard, I'm on Yahoo. If you want to hit me up on Yahoo, so that we can communicate like that, and then you can send me any numbers that come over. Thanks, Switchboard. But what's going on, Joseph?
Hi. How are you? Are you good?
Fine. And you? So, okay.
I just want to say one thing. It was really so good seeing you at Paris's ball. You know what I'm saying?
It was good to see you.
It really was, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, it's always good to see basically old faces who we've all came up with this and
yeah,
other, because there's so many fond memories that we have between us. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So,
it's a beautiful thing to be able to remember, to be able to be here to talk about it.
Right, to be still here to be able to talk about it, and then, which is so good that me and you are Cabbage, because we all come from an era of origination of a lot of, well, the second origination of a lot of things that happened, you know what I'm saying, in terms of categories. And I think it's so imperative to explain to our young kids, you know what I'm saying, and some of the kids that say that, you know, that are established too, you know, where did this category really, really start, and what is the fantastic moments, because this is what I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing those fantastic moments for those categories that were so simply named, you know what I'm saying? You know, a category, I remember when I remember when flyers were typed up on a typewriter. Kids wouldn't even know what a typewriter is, you know what I'm saying? And people would type them up on a typewriter and go to a copy shop and run over copies, and the categories were simple. It just said face, runway, body, you know what I'm saying, realness. You know, that's what it was, and that's where people was able to create their moments because they wanted to win. You know what I'm saying? They didn't say, you know, face with a red shoe and a pink top and an orange blouse and a rubber yo-yo. It was
you're right, but you know something else. I agree with you, but there's something else too. There was it was an annual thing. For example, I remember Paris's was always face and more face. And Harlem Fantasy was it a Midsummer Night's Dream? I'm not sure, but do you remember when each...
They gave a meaning to it. Every category had a meaning to it. And they knew it was face, like Skirts Ahoy, bringing it from a foreign country.
I must say that the creativity is still there, but I don't know if it's being explained clear enough where people are able to understand clearly what it is that's wanted.
Right. I think it was more so about a theme than asking for something specific. You know, right. Category had a theme. You know, High Fashion Winter Sportswear was basically High Fashion Winter Sportswear, the Poconos versus the Catskills. It was self-explanatory. You know what I'm saying? If you know anything about the Poconos, you know any Catskills, you know what was about skiing. You know what
if
I'm
it
saying?
It was shopping down Fifth. It was shopping down Fifth.
It was shopping
right.
down
so
Fifth.
You had the store.
Right, I'm saying it was
everything that you had on had to come from Fifth Avenue.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
The
so there was room for creativity and originality, but yet it was still within still always under the same area.
It was reachable. It was something that you could reach. It was feasible.
And
you see what I'm saying?
Have your own uniqueness, originality, and creativity, because someone might come in something from Gucci, and someone might come in from something from Polo. But it was
Lindenberg.
Valid because of where it was from. Do you know what I mean? And then, of course, it was up to whose was the most fabulous.
Definitely.
But it allowed people to have their free creativity and their individuality. And, you know, hopefully people would be able to do that because it gets a little lost and it makes it a little less appealing to those who want to walk. And it makes you have a lot more, lot less people who are willing to walk because you get intimidated.
You know, Joseph, the other day, me and Derek was talking about ballroom. And ballroom is not hard. But there's nothing hard about ballroom. We as a whole, you have individuals that make ballroom hard. But for those of us that have some kind of sense of direction, ballroom is not hard. It's not hard to read a category. It's not hard to comprehend. It's not hard to go and do what you have to do. It's all about ballroom, and ballroom is not that hard.
Okay, but wait a minute. The categories might not be that hard, but getting through is.
But if you got it, got it. If that's not your category, that's not your category.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes
you
have it.
You give it to a girl. Bitch, if your face, your face.
All right.
If your face of performance, your face of performance.
Agree.
You mm-hmm. put the two together.
It doesn't always work like that. The reality says it doesn't always work like that.
Okay, let's put it like this. In the House of Princess, you had Ralph, Princess. Face of performance, a bitch not to be played with. Then you had Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Face. Then you had face. Your face of performance you could play in a little bit, but to play straight up face with the girls. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. I was not a pop gift girl. That was Miss Eli's job. That
mm-hmm.
was Miss... job. I was performance. Because remember, before I walked any one of those, I walked stretch, stretch, and more stretch. So I could perform because I was a performance. But given all that pop, dip, and spin, being do it.
Well, but I'm just saying that it's just, to me, I just think that, you know, the categories that they're doing at this, even like what you're saying, there was a difference, and it was understood, and it was kind of self-explanatory as you read it. And I think that when you have things, categories now that have so their balls are so huge. I mean, they're nationwide. So when, you know, we have to, if you have to poke it, I would believe, you know, of course I'm not an expert on any of this, but if you have something where you have the potential to have people from all across the country, you know, you have to open it up because we're not talking about the tri-state area anymore. You know, and everyone, one word that we use in New York, if it's a ball in New York, let's just say, and it says, you look fierce, and we're thinking of it in a negative way, someone in California might think that's a fabulous way. So we have to, when the audience is opened to such a large scale, I think it needs to be simplified and so much less specified because you have people coming from all over. And then also, you know, I think it's just kind of mean to, you know, for someone to make a cross-country trip to come and patronize because, you know, it says be done, and, you know, they might think they're done, but someone up there wants to say they're not done. Well, you know, gosh, is that really how we want to treat someone who just came 3,000 miles to come and patronize our function?
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? So my point is with saying that is, you know, I think that it's the categories are, you know, they're just being so specified. And I don't think that everyone is taking it, you know, taking into consideration the audience and that people are coming from all over. And what one, you know, what it might mean to you here, they might not understand it. So if it's a little bit more general and like we were saying, shopping down Fifth or Skirts Ahoy or Foot and Eyewear or Performance versus Pop Dip, it's a little bit more understood and it's still a little more generalized so that people from different places were still able to have their uniqueness, their creativity, and not be shut out or chopped because of some specific thing that someone might say. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So that's why we decided to give this segment tonight to give them a general synopsis of what a category is supposed to be. All right.
Okay.
I listed a few of them, which I'm going to read off right now, and then, Derek, if you can fill in any that you think that I missed that you feel that are important, but I think I have the important ones or the ones that are important to me. Okay, first and foremost, a lot of people question faith.
Meaning okay. Front the head.
Right, faith. You mean in front, the front of the head, not the back.
Thank you.
Okay, so
just
now.
Make sure you say that.
Right, because last week a young man called in and he questioned Derek about the category faith. And it was so surprising from where he was at to be questioning about the category. And he doesn't even walk balls, but he questioned the category. You see what I'm saying? So, now, since we have you, Joseph, and that was you.
Can I ask a question real quick? You know,
yeah,
I'm
trying to
miss
you
one thing, too. Can I ask a question? Are we talking about face? Are we talking about a pretty bitch? Because I want to know about face. Not a pretty bitch, because every pretty bitch ain't face, and that's what these girls get fucked up.
What? And that's
but
and
I'm
that's
going
what
back on mute. I just wanted to throw that in there. I'm going back on mute.
I think that was a very good point.
Okay,
right. And that's what pretty girl realness was. She said a pretty bitch. That's what the category pretty girl realness. Every girl that was in, there was a lot of girls that weren't face, and more face, but they were very pretty girls. You know what I'm saying?
And they also had pretty boy. Because every male figure wasn't face, but he sure was a pretty little boy.
Okay, so let's call all the categories of face originally.
Okay.
So, okay, I'm going to say dark and lovely.
Okay.
Light and lovely.
Okay.
Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it was Models Magazine.
Okay.
Okay, now let's go into what Models Magazine consisted of.
Okay.
Can you give me an example of your day, a model magazine face?
I recall Models Magazine faces, those girls who were taking beautiful photos and, you know, well, see, I come from a different day, so I might get cussed out for it. But that was the girls who had a nice canvas, and they enhanced it with makeup. The men, at least.
Yeah, there you go. They had really, really, they had really intricate structure. You know what I'm
saying? Yes, they did. It was enhanced by the makeup and the photography, and it really looked like it was stepping off of the cover of a magazine.
Right.
There we go. It was really simple. You know what I'm saying? And
but
yeah, it was a structure, beautiful, all of that. But it was something, you know, that was for those faces that wanted to enhance it with a little blocking here and there and a little base.
Right.
You know.
There we go.
I mean,
okay.
It was.
So now, how do you feel about face now?
Oh, God. How do I feel about it?
Well, I mean, okay, I could ask Derek, but me and Derek don't want face. You do.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. Everything changes. Everything changes. I personally, because of who I came from, what I how I've walked, how most people around me walked, I don't understand it. So the last time I judged was just a couple of years back, and it was out of the way in someone, I can't recall whose ball it was, but it was in North Carolina, and it was $1,000 per face. I don't know who it was. All of the people were gorgeous. Can't deny it. But somebody came out, and they were in they had a whole setting, and they were like in a box, and they came out of the box, and he came up to the front, and personally, he couldn't have been more than 19 years old, and he had on so much makeup that you could smell it. And I had to chop him because the one before him was this gorgeous man who was dark and cocoa. He was the same color from the tip of his forehead to the point of his chin, and he was so drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, it was just straight-up an accident of nature to be this gorgeous. And this little boy came out, and they said, he's gorgeous. I said, I'm sure. And my whole thing was, I'm sure he is gorgeous. But I'm saying, if at 18 and 19, that's when your youth is there. If you got to put on all that makeup, forget it. I mean, that's just my opinion. So for me, that whole makeup thing, I came from a time when you groomed your facial hair, you got a haircut, you were a good-looking man. The female figures were gorgeous. That was for the women. Men, it was not, you know, men didn't wear makeup. Women did.
Okay.
So I'm old school.
Now Models Magazine face has spilled over into now regular face.
Model Magazine face has eclipsed and taken over face.
Okay, so now, let's go to Dark and Lovely.
Yes.
Okay, now in the ballroom scene now, Derek, Dark and Lovely is a category that you do not see too often. Okay, well, maybe it's maybe not the balls that you've been going
to. But what it is also, you don't see any of those division-type categories. That's what the problem is in our ballroom community. Things were divided up into divisions where people were separated, and you don't have that. They just say face. They just say face for $1,000 or face for $5,000, and everybody doesn't fall into that particular category. That face is the general term, but then everybody is into different in different slots of that. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you so much, and that's one of the reasons why they used to break it up. Because if you got five judges and two of them are partial to a light-skinned guy, they might give it to him. And if two of them are partial to a dark-skinned guy, they might give it to him. But one thing that you can't deny, which I don't understand, and Cabbage, I think we talked about this before, and Derek, if you don't agree with me, please stop me. What I don't understand is if you're given $1,000 or cash for a trophy, you got a whole entire runway, you got a DJ, and you've got literally hundreds to almost thousands of people in this room paying all this money to be entertained, and you've got somebody walking out there for $1,000. They all attend across the board. Whatever happened to turning on the music, entertaining your audience? Now let's see who's a diva. Because, I mean, they're all tens. Who stands out?
In some perspective or another, but nobody sells it no more. They do not sell it. They don't sell it no more.
Something that needs to be, you know, when you look at the root of a problem. How do you line up? I mean, that's the only category you line up. It becomes so opinionated. Well, see, that's not the case anymore. Everyone else is able to battle. You know, if Vogue Femme got a 10 and that Vogue Femme got a 10, they get to battle and see who serves who. You can't do that with face anymore. Why not? They both got 10s. Now who's the diva? Give me a beat. What's a runway and a DJ there for?
I agree with you. And I think that's more so about the overwhelming response of the actual category. For example, in Atlanta, the Ebony Ball last year, one of the hottest face female figure face categories, film queen face category, wasn't female figure, film queen face categories in this era, and those film queens made their own entrance. You know what I'm saying?
And they were supposed to.
And then, right, they were supposed to. Older girls that are more southern know how to put on the show. A Raquel or Sasha, you know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
those are performing girls, you know. Other girls step
on
the runway.
Hold on, gentlemen. Hold on, because y'all have a Cabbage, a switchboard just hit me up, and Cabbage has a lot of callers that have
okay.
something to say.
Okay,
so hold
great.
On, hold
great.
On, okay? 917-693, you're live on the air on Classics Tuesday.
Hello, y'all. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi,
baby.
Hi, RT.
Hi, baby.
What's your question, baby?
Okay, this is my question. My first question is, I'm okay with the categories, and I'm glad you're having this topic. First, y'all got to, I think what y'all should do is when y'all have a ball, a web throwing a ball, the judges need to know the categories, because sometimes the judges don't know the categories, and they're not paying attention, and sometimes they chop the individual because they're not reading the category. I'll give you an example. There was a ball, jacking ball, and the category was bring it like grease. And if they say bring it like grease, and your category says to bring it like grease, you're not going to dress like you were dressed in 2009 or 8. You're going to dress like it was in the movie Grease. Now, if you're on the judges panel and you're not paying attention, and someone comes out not dressing the way they should, they get chopped, and sometimes they move it so quick, you can't even argue because they're trying to move the ball so quick, but it's not fair that the judges were not paying attention to the category. So a lot of times the judges need to be educated on the specifics of the category.
Mm-hmm. You're also, too. Well, let me
well, now,
isn't
that the job of the commentator to clarify?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Well, now, wouldn't that be the job of the commentator with the microphone to clarify?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would be. And actually, the giver of the ball to say, no, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm asking for, judges. And if y'all don't see exactly what I'm looking for, then it's an automatic chop. If you say Grease, then you know, you're talking about the movie Grease from the 50s and the 60s. You're talking about
right.
If you're not in a leather jacket and some high water pants or some penny loafers or a cardigan sweater and some plaid pants or something like that, if you're not giving me a 50s look, then basically then there's no reason for you to step on the floor. You know?
Well, wait a minute now. Well, here's the thing. First off, I have to disagree with you on the point of the person who's giving the ball, because it's a business going on and they have to be a lot of places, and that's why they've hired a commentator. Mm-hmm. The master of ceremonies to read the category, have the category sheet, the description of what the category is, and make sure that it's...
But also, Joseph, coming from an era where basically, and this is to add to what you're saying, add to what the caller is saying, coming from an era from the past, when you gave a ball, you sat down, when you called your judges, and you asked the judge to judge, you went over your categories with the judges, or you
Thank
had a
you.
Judges meeting. I don't think that occurs when you have a judges meeting.
At a category sheet at each.
Mm-hmm.
At least you had a category sheet.
Thank you, caller, for definitely calling in. Hold on, we have another caller.
Right.
This is my girl. This is my girlfriend, Miss Keisha. 347-246. You live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, Joseph.
I just want to say, Cabbage, I love your show.
Thank you, honey.
Much success to you. And you guys are so focused on the face category, so let's stick on that, okay? Because, and I don't walk face, but I pretty much have an idea what face consists of. And me watching the old ball tape, they need to go back to the old era of the balls. Because those girls and those butch queens walk safe. Me personally, as a butch queen, when you have a lot of paint, that's not considered safe. That's considered Club Carter. And they need to revise safe. When you said Club Carter, then you can wear all that paint and get safe. Because some of these girls...
But you know what? Let me stop you for a minute, Keisha. When I think about face, I want somebody to do face.
Right.
And I want them to have faith that you have to come out there with a mint julep mask and a motherfucking bowl of water and wash your motherfucking face right in front of the judges. That's what I call motherfucking faith.
I agree.
A bitch that wakes up like that.
Kelly,
say,
I 100% agree.
Because they wake up like that.
Thank you. So going back to faith,
face wearing a lot of paint, that's not face. That's Club Carter, Club Kid Carter. Okay.
Yeah.
When the girls walk that category and they can spray their face with water and no paint, no Beijing is dripping, that's washboard face.
Yeah, but man, I understand that and I agree with you.
And,
but the women.
But okay, so have Club Kid Carter. Then the girls can paint and get face.
Actually, for a while they had his face painted versus unpainted, didn't they?
Yes,
fair.
They did.
That's not fair. That is not fair. That's not fair because I can anybody can paint their face and get face and be ugly as fuck. But you put makeup on and have same features. You cannot put an unpainted face against a painted face. That is not fair. A person unpainted automatically should win. That's not fair. They not.
Yeah, that's not face. That's an artist.
Exactly. That's not fair. Just like. You said models, magazine. Okay, Tyra Banks don't have face, but she's photogenic. You take all that paint off, she looks a mess. But put out with some face and a good makeup and a good camera, she's over.
Keisha,
we got a whole bunch of callers. I will pick you back on hold, okay? Keisha, I'm going to mess with that one, Keisha. I love you, though, honey.
All right.
See you tonight, girl.
All right.
Okay. Okay, hold on, y'all. We got some more callers. 803-226, you're live on the AL Classic Tuesdays.
How you doing? Y'all can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Cap. Is this the guy that called in last week and asked the question about face?
Okay, honey.
Go ahead.
And I had a question, like, you were talking about, I caught it kind of late when you were talking about model face and what's the difference between the regular face. So could you kind of explain that to me again?
Okay, well, I don't need to explain it to you. I'll let Joseph Princess explain it to you, legendary face. I mean, if,
okay.
or Kelly or somebody else, but I'll let one of them explain it to you because they've walked the category. So, Joseph, can you do this one for me?
Okay. Well, I don't think they even have Models Magazine face anymore. However, it was originally for those very nice-looking female and male figures who would come out who were like to put on makeup and take photos and actually do, you know, take those gorgeous pictures like we see in magazines all over, all over. So it was those people with nice bone structure and, you know, who liked to, you know, put on the makeup and, you know, and even let's say they could even throw on a Arabian chic something. You know, you could do whatever you wanted to do, but it just looked like a model. You had the opportunity to be able to paint if that's what you, you know, wanted to do. And it was a whole, it was a model look versus a regular face, which was good-looking men and good-looking female figures who were just coming in there and were just gorgeous.
Okay,
naturally.
Give me the five elements of face.
And then the
skin. Oh, y'all want me to give it to you?
Please do.
Okay, please do.
Color consists of the eyes, the nose, the teeth, the structure. Because, you know, a lot of these girls, they got structure, honey. And so that's why they wear paint, so they can draw the structure and...
And the skin.
Yes, and the skin has to be a child. Yeah, baby, please.
Because it's like when I go to balls and I understand what he was saying, like entertaining the crowd. Because, you know, it's like with some queen faces entertaining, just like, you know, they put on the show, like Nadia Milan, Amaya, all of them puts on the show. And I was like, with butch queen faces, kind of boring because you're just standing there, get your tans, next person. You know, because it gets kind of, you know, boring. And
isn't
I understand you had a point, like, people want their, want their money more, you know, trying to get a show.
Yeah. Well, I get, then, you know, a part of me has to say, I'm sorry if I can answer that really quick. A part of me wants to say, that has a little bit to do with the person who's walking, too. Because there was always lines. And it's kind of up to you a little bit, too. If you're going to make a statement, you know, that's up to that individual because, I mean, you could fall into a dip if there ain't a beat. Fuck it. The audience follows. And when the audience follows, that's when it starts happening. You get photos. You get a DJ, the commentator sees something that's going on that the people like, and it starts to happen. So, you know, if people want to follow suits like machines, you know, that's when people have to start being a little, have to take ownership of what they want to do, because I refuse to stand in the line, win or lose, F that. I'm going in front of anybody's face and telling them they don't want it, and I'm falling in a dip. I mean, just because, you know.
Can I interject for a second?
Absolutely.
And it's good that we're having this conversation about faith, that we can have this conversation probably to the end of time. But there's also six other genres and categories that I know that the community wants to talk about. Realness, runway, fashion category, you know what I'm saying? All those things.
Hold on. Thank you, caller, for definitely calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold. Yeah, we definitely do got to get to some other category, because we definitely do got to get to realness and all types of things you say. Because, I've been gagging at, y'all talk about realness, I got to see on realness, we say. I'm gagging, we say, that the print, light-skinned thug boys, we say, don't be getting through, we say, they only think it's about the ugly beast boys and stalk realness. What the fuck?
And honestly, and Kelly, that goes from the beginning of ballroom. That's the thing that I used to witness all the time, too. You know what I'm saying? A light-skinned thug boy wasn't winning over Jermell Princess. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He just wasn't.
Yes,
because
I'm gagging at that. Hold on, we got another caller. Florida, you're live on the air, 407-697. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Call, are you there?
407-697, you're live on the air.
Oh, I know exactly.
Going twice, so to the disconnect button. Private caller, you're live on the air on Classic Tuesday, private caller.
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the air, private caller.
Hello?
Yes, you're live, baby.
Go to the disconnect button
on Classic Tuesdays. Okay. 267
Hello.
704. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
What's up?
267-704. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. What's up?
Do you have a question?
Baby,
what's your question?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to be trying to have these balls every time.
No.
What'd you say?
I said, why do Selvin Khan be trying to have these balls every time?
That's not tonight. That's on gossip and messy on Monday. Call back on Monday. Bye. Okay, we ain't got no more
girls.
Okay, wait, hold on. Before, so all you girls that's out there that's listening, maybe it's your first or your second time listening to the show, but on Mondays, it's Messy Mondays, and you have the Messy Kelly, and I give you all the gossip and all the tea and everything that's going on in the bathroom and everything that's going on at the balls and who I caught sniffing coke and everything, and all of that stuff goes on Monday. On Tuesday, we have the Icon Cabbage Ebony, and it's Classic Tuesdays. It's all about ballroom history and all about the old girls and talking about what you young girls should be knowing to take and better yourself in the ballroom scene. And on Wednesday night, we have Ladies Night with Nicole. So if you got gossip and all that stuff, you got to hold it till Monday. You call in here, you're going to get blocked. Go ahead, Cabbage.
All right, now, another category that brings a lot of questions in the ballroom scene to me and to myself is performance. And that's kind of strange because that's the category that I walk. Now, I guess I'm gonna ask and answer my own questions because Derek can also help me out in this one, too, because we've had a lot of controversy with performance also. Now, in performance, when I started walking, it was performance. Now, if you walked with a prop, it was called X. Caliber. Then you had pop, dip, and spin. That means you pop for the crowd, you dip for the judges, and you spin for everybody else. Pop, dip, and spin. So that was really a uniform performance. Now, I walked performance where it was dealing with everything, stretch, and more stretch. You hit the beat different, you laid out in your dips different. There were a few of us that were performance, and there were a few of us that were pop, dip. Okay, to give an example, pop dip would be Curtis, Ebony. Pop dip would be Jerome, Pendarvis, number one now. I'm going to talk about Jerome Pendarvis, number one. Derek Stumbelina, frontwards, not backwards. That was small Derek, not big Derek. Okay, those were pop, dip, and spin. Ernest, La Beja, pop, dip, and spin. Now, for Excalibur, which dealt with a prop, you had people like Nathaniel Ninja, Marcus La Beja. Who else you could get to mess with a little bit of a prop would be Marvin La Beja, which Marvin either would walk pop, dip, and spin or Excalibur. Now,
let me interject real quick. The main Excalibur person was Stevie St. Laurent.
Thank you very much for what I just said.
He was a dangerous girl.
He was really dangerous with a pop, seriously. So let's remember that conversation that we had about, because this is for the old way kids or the kids that is coming up in this new era, walking old way. It was about performance. Pop, dip, and spin, Excalibur. Now, this is what actually happened here. In about 1988, when the Elks Lodge ended, and it's September 12th, to be exact, at the last ball, by the time the balls came to tracks in the beginning of 89, there was this category there was these people who were voguers who had a new form of vogue, and it wasn't what we was used to seeing. You had Jose Extravaganza. Who was Jose La Beja? You had Jose Revlon. You had Aldona Fields. You had Lance Adonis. You had Derek Mugler. You had Derek Extravaganza, who was Derek Pendarvis. You had all these people who came with this acrobatic stretch, 6 o'clock, calisthenics, ballet type of form of voguing. And you couldn't call that pop, dip, and spin. You couldn't call that performance. You couldn't call that Excalibur. So people said, well, that is a new way form of voguing. So that's how the name New Way came in 88, 89. And now we had to call performance, pop, dip, and spin, and Excalibur Old Way. And that's how it all started, you know. And so then you had Andre, who was not Old Way. He was Old Way with a New Way twist. And
right.
He was more
it was
about,
old style.
Was
and that's when
style.
They
kind of
changed it to stretch versus New Way. Am I right?
Yeah, right. Well, stretches, those are the exponents that came out of it. Stretch is more stretch.
But then that's when the New Way, because of, like, the Andres of the world who came through with something
right.
totally different.
Our performance, floor performance, you
right.
know, all those things that basically consist of contouring your body. That's what New Way was about, a contortion. And still in a performance factor, using your hands, using your body, still doing dips, still doing all those things consistent, but just in a more in a calisthenic type way. Now, this is 1989. The boys are now at tracks, and now this is what has actually happened. So
right.
you have old way, and now you have new way. And you have only these two forms of voguing that is considered, you know? And that's just to give the quick history on those two things. Now, the conversation that me and Cabbage has was that Cabbage is legendary performance. Performance. Now, what it is that now these kids that are old way that came afterwards are legendary old way because it wasn't old way. It was called performance or pop, dip, and spin. And that's
right.
where the division comes in at, you know. Let me give you a prime example. Derek Icon, excuse me. Derek
right.
Icon, considered legendary old way.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Ebony Elite, legendary performer. Now, y'all kind of understand what I'm saying. Listen, but then the kids are now saying, well, isn't it the same thing? No, it's not the same thing. It falls under the same thing. But honestly, when people walk the category in a period of time, that's what they're legendary for. Not, you know what I'm saying? You can't change what you're legendary for because now something else has came along. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you an example. Let's talk about another form of voguing. Witch queen voguing like a femme queen. Witch queen voguing like a femme queen was just an emulation of the femme queens that vogued.
Danielle, Moldavia. You know, they had a style and a prissiness and a femininity to vogue in, and butch queens that were coming out like that style. And that's what they emulated, you know. And that's how that category had been started to become. Now, that category, realistically, was a kiki category. No one liked that category. When that category happened, everybody went to the bathroom, you know, honestly. Because
right.
It was like, well, I don't want to see, the kids didn't want to see butch queens. Either you walked the new way or you walked away. No one wanted to see anyone emulate a femme queen. Only wanted to see a femme queen be a femme queen. But somehow or another, you had the Taifas, the Shay Shays, the real
oh, but hold on, Derek, because you can go further back than that. Because one bitch that did it all the time was Tiny Cartier.
Yes.
Remember when she was Tiny Excellence? She always walked, bring your famous femme queen to life.
Right. And you had Tiny LaBeige, and you had DeAndre. You had
right.
all those people emulating these femme queens in terms of their moves and their style and the things they did and the swinging of the hair and all that stuff like that. But
right.
who was the younger kids wanted to emulate was Letitia. Letitia was the one who gave the look of Butch Queen Vogue Fest. The booty shorts, the tied-up shirts in the front, the pumpkin seed sneakers, the bangles going all the way up the arm that made noise every time she moved her arm. Those were the things that these younger Butch Queens, Shay Shay, Taifa, Will, Baby St. Clair, those are the ones that immortalized her in terms of her look and what she gave for them queen performance. Okay, moving right along real quickly.
Hold on, Derek. It's 12 o'clock. We got to pay some bills.
Oh, it's 12
o'clock.
Okay, wow. Time sure does fly.
Yeah, it sure does.
Good evening. I am Wildred, your butler. And I am here to inform you that the House of Evie Beasley presents to you Clue Roll. On October 9th, the House of Evie Beasley takes over New York City. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the ball begins at 8 p.m. sharp. Please be on time because we will begin the ball without your presence. The date of the ball is Saturday, October 9th. Here are some cash prizes. Male figure best dress, $500. Female figure best dress, $500. Legendary femme queen performance, $500. Legendary butch queen Vogue femme, $250. Butch queen runway, $1,000. Femme queen fade, $1,000. Schoolboy realness, $250. Legend team battle, $1,000. And house with the most points, $1,000. Plus, there are many more intriguing categories and cash prizes. Reminder, you must have an ID stating that you're 18 years of age to enter the building. There's absolutely no glitter or spray paint allowed on premises. Tables are $250. The address to the ball, 504 West 45th Street between 10th and 11th Avenue, New York, New York. Please see flyers that are circulating in DVD format for more details. Or check walkmewednesdays.com. And please remember, I do not to keep this place tidy.
Okay, Derek, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, hey, is Joseph here?
Yes, I'm here.
I have a pressing category that everybody seems to have a lot of problems with, and I
don't want to hear it from a performance perspective. I want to hear it from. Okay, what my thing is now is I want to find out what everybody's opinion is on Twix. That a performance that it came up on us real fast, and I want to know what happened to that category real quick, because realness with a twist is supposed to be realness with a twist. Again, I have a problem with everybody always coming out there voguing. If they did not ask you,
a twist can be anything.
A twist can be you come out there looking like a flaming faggot jumping around doing backflips. You can come out there and do European runway. I think that would be an over twist.
European runway. That's another twist. Nobody says that twist has to be voguing. So now what does anybody, any callers or anyone, anybody else have anything to say about this? Kelly, do you have any callers up there at all? Because
yes,
I really want to know.
Can
I have the first caller, please? How they feel about twist?
510-575. You're live on the Aeon Classic Tuesdays.
Yes, caller. Are you there?
All right, yes. I had a question. How are Rumors with a Twist boys, or it would say to me that Rumors with a Twist boys are supposed to come out and know how to vogue. Is that like, is that true or not? Because my house brother's Twisters wanted, like, my brother in my house, he's a Twister, and he wanted to know that, like, should, is there other things he could do as a Twist, or should he just vogue?
Well, I think what it is that voguing is so common that basically they think that that's automatically that is okay to do. But remember, it's not Ruinous with Vogue. It's called Ruinous with a Twist. And what it is that you have to be able to be so real that nobody can detect that you can do anything of a feminine nature. Because going back to the history of realness, not Ruinous with a Twist, Realness boys only did one thing, walk realness. They didn't do anything else. They may have dressed high, they may have walked high fashion, bandy, streetwear. They may have walked. That was basically it. So when you were real, you were real. You did not emulate anything of femininity. You did not do anything of femininity in terms of in the ballroom. What you did outside of the ballroom, it didn't matter. But in the ballroom, you were an epitome of masculinity. Now, moving forward is that when we're going back to a situation, this is where the situation is, it happened. In 1990 at the Ebony Ball at the Irving Plaza, one of the legendary realness boys named Jamel decided he was going to walk realness. But he was, of course, but he snatched a Femme Queen's wig off in a pocketbook and rode all the way down the runway. When
Jamel
he got to
Prince.
The other panel and said, if any motherfucker, one of y'all motherfucker chop me, I'm busting all of y'all in the face. Pins flew everywhere. Category still.
Jamel Princess.
Huh?
Jamel Princess.
But again, this started a category, which they named Banji Vogue. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So this is what they gave
so
it. After this, they gave it a name.
That's the actual voguing for it. Is Banji Vogue?
That
Banji
was the
Vogue.
First Banji Vogue was the first name for it. That means that you vogue, looking, acting like a boy, acting like a nigga on the street. It was like you looked so awkward doing it.
Yeah.
And so it was like, because you kept your masculinity. You had fun with it, but it was just that you were voguing like a masculine street dude.
And what the style of voguing was, because you have to think about it, it was still early, it was still mid-hip-hop era. So if you was a break dancer in a break dance crew, or if you knew how to pop lock, That's where you infiltrated your style of hip hop with voguing, you know? Because of course both of them are brother and sister, and that was the only thing that you could do as a realness boy in terms and not be viewed as anything feminine, as in terms of was Banji Vogue. You know
so can
saying?
I ask a question? With that being said,
and
someone who's walking realness with the twist, do anything besides Vogue and still be allowed to get through?
Well, that's why my question was, realness with a twist doesn't always have to be voguing. You can walk runway, you can walk a million, you can walk fag out. You can come out in a skirt. But if you walk, you have to walk realness first.
But Candace, let me add, and then add for the community out there, the what it was is that it had to be a gag factor. Realness with a twist was a gag factor category. No one knew that so-and-so, legendary realness, knew how to vogue or knew how to do runway, besides his probably girlfriend. All of a sudden, he decides to walk out there for realness, and then all of a sudden, does a pivot turn and storms out of runway. Everybody in the ballroom is gagging. That they didn't know that he knew how to do that. It's not a gag factor category because it's a common category. You know what I'm saying?
I don't gag at the boys that get online for running for the twist because I know they know how to bowl. Or I know they know how to do runway. It's not a gag factor category. So the realness part should be dropped and it should just be twist. You know?
Should it be hard twist? I mean, what?
It doesn't matter what kind of twist.
Okay,
it should
you.
Be just twist. Okay,
because
next caller, Kelly. Thank you, caller.
We have another caller, and the next caller is 347-984. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
984.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, this is Jonathan. Hello?
Hey,
what's
your question?
No, I just want to, like, stay with somebody was just saying about drop the realness and just have twist because at the past couple of bulls, shut up, man, I'm talking. At the past couple of bulls, we don't make the twisters work realness no more. They just tell them to get dressed, line up, and roll. So what's the stuff to keep calling realness for the twisters? Y'all may not let any twisters work on realness. Like, when I came out for twister shit like that, it was probably, like, 13 max twisters. Now there's like 23 of them motherfuckers or 31 of them motherfuckers, and they, none of them look real. They're all fags and shit like that. They don't act like boys. They be out there in tight skinny jeans and shit like that with purses and shit. That's crazy. And then they get through and stuff like that, and I thought you're supposed to get your 10 at surrealness, and that makes you wrong. If you don't get your 10 surrealness, then it's a couple of real fucking real thing.
Oh, so you don't have to get 10 for realness first?
No, that's what you have to do. You have to get 10 for runners, but like at the battle ball, you don't even make them get 10 for runners no more. They just come around up in the back and just walk.
Well, that, again, is a problem.
Okay, so now it's no longer called realness with a twist. It's called twist. So,
okay.
In all reality, it's Vogue Theft.
No, actually, thank you, Joseph, for calling this. But actually, the category is, it's all Vogue Femme. That's what it is.
Right, it's Junior Vogue Femme. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's
junior
what it is.
Junior Vogue Femme.
Hold on, we have another caller. 718-715. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Hello. Hi, this is Cassandra, everybody. What's going
on? Hi, Cassandra.
Hi.
Hi, baby. What's your question?
Well, I didn't have a question. I'm going to have a comment, actually.
Okay.
There's no shade because, you know, I am a Vogue Femme, whatever. I've been watching the category twists as well, and it's like, okay, I'll be seeing some of the Vogue Femmes do what the fuck the twisters do, and that is a gag. Because if you're like, girl, how the hell do you sell from a twister? They supposed to be looking up to you with Vogue and things like that. I don't know anything about them.
So, how do you feel about twisters that become sisters?
Cassandra? Is she
hello?
There?
Oh, wait.
Hello?
I think, hold on. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. Go ahead, baby.
Wait, record. Tell us to hold on.
Wait. What is... No, that wasn't her. That was
that
switchboard.
Wasn't me.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Hello?
You're back. Yeah.
Cassandra,
yeah,
how do you feel about twisters that become sisters?
Well, like I said, at some point in time, I already feel like the girls was already sisters. So, like, at the end of the day, like, there really don't be no realness back. I'm, like, I don't be gagging, like, when the girls come out in Vogue because I already have seen some Vogue and stuff like that. And they come to you and tell me that they lift me. Like, but, like, okay, say if the thug realness boys that started Vogue, that would be really cool to twist to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would really make me gag. Like, what the hell? Like, I never
if
seen a person
see,
Vogue a day in my life.
No disrespect to any one of them, but if you would see any Ebony boy, realness, straight up Ebony, they don't want to start motherfucking just laying it out. The whole ballroom will be going chaos, turn it to chaos. That's what
it
I was saying about the gag factor of the category. There's no
it
gag
no
factor,
thing.
So why have realness? Because realness itself is a gag factor category.
And it's just and
wow,
it is,
you know,
there's a couple of the Twister girls that nice and need to be on the Vogue Femme line.
Okay,
no
but you know, but like I said last week on our cabin show, that I'm going to be having thug realness
with a twist.
Thug realness, yeah. And it can none of the twisters that is known for twisting can walk this category. And I was just informed
by Ballroom Throwback that I was going to make the category $500. He's going to add another $500 to the category, and it's going to be $1,000 for this category. And it's going to be for some boys that's not known or have ever voted in the ballroom seat at all is allowed to walk this category. No
question. Can I ask you a question about that category?
Okay, so I have one question about that category.
Yes.
So basically you have to come out there and vote. Like, you don't have to come out there and just walk runway.
No, they don't have to come out there. I don't want them to come out there and be like the Twisters and the Sisters.
They
want them to come out there and walk like back in the day, when the Princesses and the Ebonies came out and they vogued and it was masculine and they fell out their dips and all types of things and the girls went crazy for it. They still went crazy for it because they was gagging at these thug boys was voguing.
Okay,
right.
That's gonna be
so
high.
Do you want
first-timers?
Do you want first-time voguers, first-time thug realness to vogue, or is it all right if they vogued at a ball before?
No, if you vogued at a ball before, you can't walk this category.
If it's somebody like Dre that don't vogue all the time, he can walk the category. But if it's a person that come out there and you know that they vogue all the time, no, they cannot vogue.
Well, there you have it. Well, that's clarity, and isn't that what
you're supposed to Something like a dear, dear friend of yours, Ms. Joseph.
I will gag because I will be at the door, and like I say all the time when I have my phone, I come to our other building with my coins, so I don't got to sit at the door and monitor the coins. I will be in the front, and I will be chopping the girls myself.
So Kelly, Joseph, and Cabbage. So what has actually happened, what they have actually said, they have now eliminated the realness part, and now it's basically just Twist. And it's
yes.
A community, Twist can be anything. You could do runway. You could vogue. I don't care if you could even get in drag. Do you know what I'm saying?
If that's what your twist is, that's what your twist is. But
that's
the trick of it is, when you say realness with a twist, that means that I should be gagging whatever you come out in.
Yes.
Right.
There should be no way I'm going to get burned. Is that so? Oh my God, he is in. Oh shit, that's what's supposed to happen. Now, realness with a twist. Now is okay. Is Miss Thing gonna vogue better than Miss Honey? Is Miss Honey gonna vogue better than Miss Daisy? Cause that's what realness with a twist is. It's no longer realness with a twist. It's twist.
No longer twist.
Hold on, y'all. We got a caller from D.C. Hold on. Let me see the number they sent over to me. Hold on. Got to scroll my screen back down. Okay, the number is 202-386. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays. 202-386. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Where is going to be at?
Okay, I guess you're not on the air. Hold on. Oh, hold on. We have another caller from D.C. Hold on. 202-271. You're live on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Hello, everyone. How are you all tonight? Well, first of all, before I start off, I just want to say happy birthday to Selvin Kahn. And then I want to go into the realness of the twist. I feel like I would really love to see the realness of the twist, how it used to be brought back into the ballroom circuit, because now it's a lot of realness boys that really do have a twist of European runway or have a twist of, you know, walking probably Butch Queen up in Pump or something, and it will give them, you know, a chance to display their twist as well. So by saying that, I feel like people that promoters or that's giving balls, they should, you know, put that in our realness of the twist and just say what the twist,
okay,
you know. Specify what the twist is.
Right.
But specify that it doesn't have to be voguing.
It doesn't have to be voguing. It can be whatever, exactly.
It could be motherfucking labels, head to toe. It could be dust. You know what I'm saying? And the designer does, you know, or walking foot and eyewear. It could be anything in ballroom that's not number. When you have realness boys that are just straight up realness boys, then it could be anything else other than realness. You know what I'm saying?
Coming out of the comfort zone, I got you.
So
moving right along, because I think we covered realness with a twist pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know
hold on, hold on. We got one more caller. We got one more caller. Keisha, you're live back on the air on Classic Tuesdays.
Oh, I'm so glad. Okay. I'm back.
Okay.
Now, in case you want to know, that was my one of my originated categories.
Who is this?
Keisha.
Okay.
Hi, Keisha. Hello?
Keisha?
Are you there?
Keisha who? What house is? Who is that? Keisha what? What's her butch queen name?
You're not going to give her butch queen name. Her name is Keisha, and she's in
okay,
your
well,
house.
Okay, she said that was one of her One of her original categories, I
want to
know who she is.
She's an Ebony, but, you know, she don't want her name on the air. But
oh,
she's
right.
Lord,
these kids kill me.
Okay, so can we...
Can
but I don't know what's going on with her number, but y'all go back and talk,
to,
and I'll let y'all know if y'all have some more callers. I got to go try my dress on again. I'm going on mute.
We covered Faith. We covered Brothers. We covered a little bit of Vogue Femme. This and the other. We did tap on...
Realness, we got the realness. Can I ask about a category? Okay.
Runway.
That's where I was going to go, and I had a question.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Derek, and for you, Cabbage, if I may.
Okay.
My question is, from what I've seen, from the few that I go to and many tapes I get to see, like DVDs, ooh, I dated myself, sorry, what is it with everyone trying to do a Naomi Campbell walk in men's clothes?
Well, that's a new runway.
I don't understand. Is that a runway with the... I mean, is there any more... Do we not celebrate men, male models, walking like... If it's Model's Effect, isn't it like male models? Does that not exist anymore?
Okay, so you know what, Derek? You know what, Joseph? Let's get to this first. What is runway?
Okay.
Okay, so
okay.
Now.
Runway was originally, we have to go back to the history so the kids can understand. Runway was Model's Effect. Model's Effect was basically being just like a model, whether you was a male model or whether you was a female model, you know, or female figure model, you were emulating exactly like a model. Now, for the male models, like you had, I'm a person who, the first person that I was intrigued by, his name was Robert Dupree.
Yes.
He was a male model. He looked like a model. He walked like a model. He acted like a model. And he had a style and attitude just like a model. You know, when I say a model that performed the runways of Milan, Paris, London,
hey,
New York.
Professional model.
Now, there was two different. Now, there was American Runway. Now, for the American Runway people, or the people that are trying to wear American Runway was always about patriotism. It was always about the military look. Remember? It was all about you in the military garb and the flag and all that stuff. As you witness in Paris is burning, when you see Devin Elite come out, American Runway was all about patriotism. It was just that time, because in the late 80s and the early 90s, with all the wars that were going on, when you had American Runway, you always celebrated patriotism.
Military.
Huh?
It was high fashion military, wasn't
it? High fashion military.
Okay.
And that's how American Runway started. Now, your models now, European, who came and then, now who came and changed the game and made the runway hot was Eric Adonis. And he gave you, he had a model's look, a model's walk. He had a swag about him, but he still walked like he was on the runways of any foreign country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he had a little set, and he gave a little set, a little swag, because it was still, you had to remember, it was still ballroom. And you had to get that. You know what I'm saying? But he actually changed it again. And during that period of time, in that late 80s, early 90s, that's when it went from runway Model's Effect, and it started to be divided up into divisions. You had big boys runway, you had midgets runway, and you had tall boys runway. And
right.
That's where the divisions came, because the midgets runway had a whole different style than the big boys. The big boys was Chucky and Andre Elite. You know what I'm saying? Tory
right.
was Devin.
wasn't that so that there would not be, so that it was for all people to be able to.
Yes, that's what I'm getting to. It was for all people to not be discriminated in terms of their style of runway. And
or their size.
And then you had your midgets. You had Tiny LaBeija, Tiny Pendarvis, little Charles Armani, who's Charles Balenciaga, Marvin Pendarvis. You know what I'm saying? You had all these different Baltimore. You had the smaller guys who were 5'8" and under. They had a whole different style. They had a style of runway in themselves. And that's how they divided runway up. And when they had runway, you won a big voice. It was a big voice trophy, a tall voice trophy, and a midget trophy. You know what I'm saying? And now, in terms of, like I said, the European and American was always about the patriotism and American and da-da-da. And Mabel Yvette, which was runway, who I remember Stewart. Who was initially that was his category? Runway model be fat. You hear what I'm saying? You had a look. You was done. You was dressed. You were either store bought or homemade, but you had a style and an aura about you, and you still portrayed yourself as you were a male American man, as you were a male model.
Right.
Now what you're saying, what has actually happened to this? Some of the question was about this whole femininity factor. I don't see any type of runway for butch queen. You have to remember in ballroom, when you are a butch queen, you are a butch queen. You mean you make butch queen garments, you give a butch queen look. That was always an issue in ballroom back in the days. They do not want to see a butch queen doing anything feminine or wearing anything feminine. You know what I'm saying? A butch queen was not coming out for runway in a pair of pumps. They had a category, butch queen up in pumps for that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you all that femininity stuff, you would get chopped immediately. The first ball that I ever won, Baltimore came out there, and Baltimore had a skirt on and tights and da-da-da, and it was international runway Marley Fett coming from a foreign country. And they chopped him, and he went ballistic. But because they were saying, you're looking like a woman, and that you're not dressed like a man, this and the other. And those things, it's just the same with basically, it was so adamant, if you remember, about a male being a male. You
right.
Can't walk foot and eyewear with any type of feminine or woman's shoes on. I don't care if your foot was a size 6. You just wasn't.
How do a men's clothes be fully to that?
Right.
How do a male
clothes
look like a male?
Because if that's the case, then you need to do butch queen up and drag then. And that's what the difference, I think, with gender specifications in the ballroom, there's no gender specifications. If I want to see a male be a male, that goes back to the realist with a twist. I want to see a masculine butch queen be a masculine butch queen, and that's all I want to see him be. I don't give a fuck what he do in bed. I don't care if he likes sucking dick. I don't care if he likes getting fucked outside of that. And in the ballroom, I want to see him be a masculine male, and that's all that I want to see. That's what the image I want him to portray. That's what I need to know. You know, and that goes back to that. So runway, that's what it was. It was about still dressing masculine and still portraying a war. Now, American runway has definitely evolved, you know what I'm saying, with so many different people being more creative. I like to see more American runway than I sometimes see regular runway, because you have the Derricks and you have the other guy, I think he's a Garcon now, I think he was a Herrera, this and the other, who brings so much creativity to it. And then you have the regular category runway, where basically I think it was that Jasmine Couture ball. It was the animals going wild or something like that. That
right.
was so creative. It was about create. Runway was about creativity.
A runway category that was wonderful that I saw was at the Con Ball. It was so innovative. It was surprising to me to see them. It was like bring your famous designer to life. So they brought, like, different designers, like Claude Montana. They brought Jean-Paul Gaultier. They brought
they brought
so many. But they had to do their homework. And you see what I'm saying?
Right.
They had to research about
right.
these designers and these designer looks.
Right.
And then bring their runway. That
right.
category to me was everything.
And
I enjoyed judging it.
And that's what runway has always been about, creativity. Another ball, it was at the Icon Ball in Atlanta, and I think his name is Byron or something like Milan da da da. And I think he had a Christian Lacroix, Alexander. He won, but he brought the category again. It was similar to what the category you asked. you know, take a picture out of a magazine, da-da-da-da, and bring it to life, this and the other. Runway has always been about creativity and always should continue to be about creativity. But still, in terms of your walk, still won't be masculine. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Jean Paul Gaultier runways always, he always has skirts. You know what I'm saying?
It was always avant-garde, but it still was a man in a skirt.
It was a man in a skirt. You know what I'm saying? Maurice Ebony, that he wore a skirt at the Montana Ball, and he still looked like the epitome of a man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what it was about. It was about gender, keeping gender just what it is. If you're a man, if you're a butch queen, just be a butch queen. If you're a drag, just be a drag. If you're a femme queen, be a femme queen. And if you're a woman, be a woman. Just like I don't like women battling against femme queen's performance. A woman's style of vogue is totally different than a femme queen style of vogue. I don't care what nobody says. Period. You cannot judge a woman's vogue, against a femme queen vogue or a drag vogue.
For me, women categories should be women categories. Like, I don't feel that you can judge a female figure against a woman's face.
No,
I don't feel that you can compare a female figure to a woman for body. There's no way in hell.
There's no way in hell.
These are certain things that biological women have down pat. You can get some femme queens that are real in their own right. And they emulate a woman, but when it comes down to brass tacks, a female figure it's very, very hard. I've seen them come really close, but you still can tell the difference between a man and a woman.
But that's the evolution of that ballroom givers trying to lump everything into one when basically they're totally separate. Just to give a little history on that, women, straight women, and straight men, because everyone thinks that straight, completely straight men that identify as heterosexual have their own category. Best dressed man, or best dressed couple. Masculine face sometimes, basically for that straight man, you know?
Right.
Those
categories no longer exist.
But remember, because to let the kids know that straight men and women walk bald in abundance just as much as the kids. You know what I'm
Virginia
saying?
Slim Omni, the mother from the Baltimore Twins, their mother used to walk best dressed all the time, and she was from Baltimore.
So that I'm saying about those divisions, just like just to pump it, you know, with Roy's ball. Roy was like, he's from the old school. He's not having female figure. It's amazing. I need women categories and butch queen categories. Femme queen categories and drag categories. There's no such thing as female figure because I cannot judge. No, I see anybody judging a woman against a drag, a woman gets a femme queen gets a woman, this, that, and the third. It just does not make any sense at all.
Okay, so here's another category. Here's a category that I need for you to explain to me, Derek, and it's in your specialty, all right? How do you feel about best dressed female figures being judged at the end against male figures?
I think it is very hard. You can't do it.
I don't think it should be done.
It should be. And number one is that a femme queen or a woman can have on a beautiful dress, beautiful shoes, a pocketbook, a hat, fully accessorized, and look so nice. A butch queen can just have be done in a suit, tie, shirt, hat, all of that, this and the other. When the judges are looking at the femme queen or the woman and paying the man no mind because she looks good. She looks elegant. She's presenting class. She's presenting style. You know what I'm saying? It's very, okay, that butch queen looks nice. You can't compare the two. That's what ended up happening with me. I was not going to lose to a femme queen, so I had to prepare myself to be avant-garde. I was not going to be just in a regular dinner night. I had to wear avant-garde clothing that was basically couture. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that was one of a kind. In order for the judges to see, whether it was Miyake or Gaultier or whatever the case may be, those avant-garde designers during those late 80s, early 90s, this and the other, because you could not compare me against a femme queen at all. You know what I'm saying? So I had to be eccentric in order for the judges to see, oh, wow, He's in it to win it. You know what I'm saying?
So not to mention, how do you compare? I mean, that's too, the beauty and genius in high fashion, I think, is totally different with when you with females and with males. You know what I mean? So how do you determine when looking at each?
Right, because you just can't. You, and
it's
what
hard for me. It's hard for me.
Happening, what ends up happening always is that they give it to the female feminine figure. That always happens. They always give it to the feminine figure.
It's apples and oranges, really. You can't compare the two.
You can't compare the two. You know, everybody, you know, oh, those two battle for the cash. How am I? I'm not battling. Why you got me battling? Well, first of all, why am I even walking? If it's basically one, if it's that's all I have to battle for the cash. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like you can't, they're going to win. Stephanie,
how are you
going
to battle with a Hulk tour gun and you have on a super deluxe classically tailored suit? A well-made suit is priceless. A fabulous Hulk tour gown is priceless and genius in its own right. You can't compare the two.
Right. Stephanie Malone, everybody's good. Me and Stephanie are standing up there. Everyone is going to be looking at Stephanie, number one, because she's Stephanie. You know what I'm saying? And because of her and what she has on, this and the other. I may be in Gaultier Couture. You know what I'm saying? Skirt, boots, everything. This and the other. And everyone's, oh, Derek is eating it. But Stephanie is, her, the attention span is going to be on her because she is a woman. That's how it goes. So with the Evita Ball, I see that basically, of course, it's basically divided up. But sometimes they don't divide it up in terms of the cast.
And that's when I feel that female figures and male figures should not walk. They should just not walk. Any ball that specifies at the end of the judging to get the prize or to get the money or to get the trophy that you have to battle against a femme queen, I think it's impossible. Just like I think it's impossible for realness, for a female figure to walk realness against a male figure. There's no way in hell. It's no way in hell you're going to tell me, like the other, like last week, Jasmine, to me, Milan is undeniable realness. But to me, Roy is undeniable realness too. There's two different kinds. There's no way in hell you're going to walk up to Jasmine and get very well. You're realer than Roy. Roy is realer than you.
Right.
I should not. There's no way in hell I should ever have to say that. Jasmine looked like she was plucked from a tree of motherfucking lilies, darling, and it makes no sense. And Roy looked like he was pulled out of the sand from like making up a god, because that's what Roy gives me, the epitome. It's like putting.
I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. You just can't
phantom it.
And it ended up happening to him twice. When, even at the Blahnik ball, when he was against the Prodigy
girl.
There's
no way in hell that you're going to win over Jasmine of being a woman. She's got these big old luscious titties, this big fat ass. She's got her hair done, nails done, pocketbook glistening in the sun, and only thing he's got to work with is a pipe.
And
his realness.
You can't compare. I'm gonna say it again. You can't compare cotton to concrete.
You can't. It's just not. It's just one. You love to walk down the block with and go get your nails with done. That's the kind of realness that you're looking for. Miss Jasmine is an epitome of realness, of a woman, of a female figure, of anything.
Softness. You can't compare thugness to softness.
Softness. There's no way. It's not.
That's what I'm saying.
A hard chest and a moany breast is two different things, baby. And they judge them. Again, I think they've both been cheated. I think they both was cheated for that.
Well, then here's the question. What do we do as we're talking about this? I mean, what do people do? Do we ask that people start to specify that they separate the two and stop trying to clump together people? Because it's number one, it's not fair. You know, it's not correct. I mean, you can't compare a Roy to Jazz. What do we do to try to make better?
I mean, those categories should never be in existence. We pick up all these bad categories and drop all our good ones.
Right, we drop all our good ones. So we lump all our categories together to condense.
Because I still want
to
know why people aren't showing and bringing it like they used to, because that's to me about creativity is our designers.
We
don't
hear me?
Okay, go ahead. what we need to do is we need for everybody in the ballroom community to start getting to the balls on time. If somebody says their ball is going to start at 8 o'clock, bitches stop being fashionably late, Miss Thing, so the girls don't have to combine these categories together so everybody can have their own individual category and stand there to, alone as a person and get judged as a person for their category. But when the girls show up fashionably late, Miss Thing, the girls, that's how they got to combine the categories together so they
that's
can have all the categories so everybody don't be upset. So now bitches need to start getting some balls on motherfucking time, and then we can have 30 and 40 categories, because we're going to get through all of them and we don't have to cram everything into 21 categories and combine them together for the, everybody to walk.
Well, that's a very valid point.
I definitely agree with you, Kelly.
But
on that.
You know what, though? That's going to be that's going to be the good versus evil, because you got to remember, Kelly, that balls were started in the middle of the morning and until noon.
I love coming when I first came out and the balls was early in the morning time, honey. And you would go to the club, and then after the club you would leave
right.
and go home and shower, bitch. And then you
right,
would change
right.
your makeup, and then you would come to the motherfucking wild bitch thing for the balls in our daytime. I lived for the balls in the daytime, bitch.
Right.
And then they would serve breakfast at the balls and everything, bitch. I love that. We need to go back to that.
Well, see, if people are giving more of a pussy, then it's a car ownership on that, too. You got to know your audience. And if you know people are not coming, the freaks come out at night. Now, why are you going to give a bull with 40 categories and you know the shit ain't going to start till 12 and you're going to end at 2?
Exactly.
I mean, why are you going to put 40 categories on a flyer? You know your audience is not coming at 8. So why put 40 categories and end at 2? I mean, it's
because
it's an endless battle.
I really don't know what to say and how to judge it, because I can't say it's the older people and I can't say it's the younger people. But I know, and Cabbage knows, because she comes out and Derek does too. We go to these Kiki functions and they start at 5 o'clock. They have to be out of these clubs or wherever they have these places at 11, and they have 30 categories and grand march, and they get through all their categories and everything. And these girls are coming with props and productions and everything, the way the ballroom scene used to be back in the days.
Yeah.
And the Kiki functions, Joseph. That's it was surprising to me. Because my son, Joseph kept telling me I need to go. Kelly kept telling me you should try it, Cabbage. I mean, don't just try it. First you tried to get me to go to the girl functions. And I went to the girl functions, and they were kind of organized. But when I went to that Kiki function, and they get through all of their categories, no fighting. No, when they tell them to get off the runway, those girls get off the runway. When they tell them to get off the judges pay attention. And these are the same judges that half the time be at our regular balls, falling asleep, coked up.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to these functions. There's no Jack or no Kool-Aid on the mic. This is a statement or a star that's on the mic, and they're controlling this ball. And you would think these bitches been out for years, Joseph, the way they're controlling these balls. Judges, pay attention. Girls, get off my runway. And the girls listen.
Yes. Yes.
And they comply with them. So why?
Yes.
What is this telling us, that ballroom Kiki balls are more organized than regular balls? And
right.
mind you, half the Kiki functions I go to, they are very cheap, honey. I love it.
Right.
You know why I love the Kiki balls? I love it because it's not musicals. When they say they want a production, these bitches have their girlfriends, they have their props and everything. They got to set up. It's like 3 to 5 minutes intermission for another production. These bitches bring you production. When they ask for a category, the talent and everything and the creativity of Designer's Delight is back in the Kiki scene. We need to suck that back into the ballroom scene.
Kelly, but you know, Kelly, y'all know what bothers me the most about it? It's the same girls that are in major houses that do stuff in Kiki balls so amazing, and I never see them do that amazing stuff in a major ball. That's what I be gagging about. Like, bitch,
you want to be surprised, Derek. There is a lot of talented kids that are in the Kiki scene that won't walk regular balls.
But you know why I think a lot of them do it?
A lot of them do it over there in the Kiki ballroom scene, because the majority of the Kiki ballroom scene, whether they look on point or not in this thing, they're still going to get their tens, and they're still going to have a chance to battle. They don't have to worry about being chopped.
Okay, I got you. It's not all that shade that goes along, but it's still
and
bad.
No, and you want
so
to know what? Regardless of the fact, if I came out here and I spent $100 on my outfit, and the judges, they're still gonna give me tens. But if they spend $100 and get an effect together at the real ball, and they get chopped, that's it. At the Kiki Ball, even if they come out there and they look fierce, Miss Thing, they're still going to let them come back and they're still going to get to participate. So that makes them feel good that they still get a chance to participate. That's why a lot of them participate. But my trick to that all is, and you know what another thing, Derek, that really is bothersome, and Kelly, I must say this, in the Kiki scene, it's not as political. You don't have a lot of politics. They leave the politics and it remains fun. They have clean competition.
That's what it's supposed to be. Fun.
But with the real ballroom scene, the girls are trying to make a dollar off another bitch. The girls is trying to work a bitch for a dollar. Or they're being political. Or I don't like this bitch, so I want my girlfriend to chop her on the judges panel. Miss Thing done slept with this one husband, so Miss Thing, you're going to chop her at the next function. Bitch, that's not what ballroom is about.
Hey, Cavs, Kelly, and can we get on one of the hottest categories of the ballroom scene? Body slash sex siren.
Okay.
Well, now y'all know because it's probably
now,
a lot of sex
siren. Okay, good, because you know I have to break it down before y'all start. Now, are we talking about body slash sex siren that they went to the New York Sports Club and to all these new fitness clubs around here and worked on this body? Or are we talking about the body that they went to Joanne or Kima and got pumped in themselves
well,
to look like that?
Well, that's Swim Queen. That's to me, that's Swim Queen body, because if any Butch Queen is getting pumped and getting all of a sudden, then that's just not working for me. I'm talking about the origination of when it was this muscular body, a model's body. That was the only two things, muscular or model. Either you looked like a swimmer, or you looked like the lifeguard, or you looked like the Mr. Atlas, the Mr. Universal. You had the body, the muscles, the rip, you had everything. Then it actually went from that to becoming, not went from that, but then the sex siren came, mid-90s. And you had Jahar, and you had Scorpio, and you had Chaos, and you had all these different people now, which was sex siren with face, body, and realness. I call it the 30-30-30-10. 30% face, 30% body, 30% realness, and 10% attitude. That's what I personally called it. And you had to have all of those components for the category called sex time, which divided up into two different divisions. For the femme queen, it was called purple dub, perfect 10, and for the butch queens, it was called triple threat. That was the definition of sex siren. And so now, sex siren has become a bunch of pedophilic shit. That's how I see it.
Okay,
but
now,
I have a question. Because
this is my opinion. How do you determine senior from junior? My observation is that a senior is somebody that is more developed than the junior.
Yes.
But now, the way they're doing it now is,
yes,
if you've been walking for two or more years,
no.
Now you're a senior.
No. It was always a combination of the development of your body and the period of the time that you have been walking. You know what I'm saying? Because, honestly, a lot of dudes with sex sirens were very much, that were probably models, and did end up becoming muscular. And that's how you end up going from one level to another over a period of time. You know? That's what it was. That if senior was basically seniority of this category and the development of your body. That's
right.
What senior sex siren was.
Well, I got a message for all the sex sirens out there. If they out there and they listening, Chaos Prada is back home. And he said to tell all the girls, honey, to sit down for the Evisu Ball because he's coming to shut the building down, honey.
Uh-oh.
How you doing?
Okay.
But let me ask you
brother.
A question. Okay, here's a category that you're leaving out in body, which is relatively new in body, which I think it gave a chance for the more feminine butch queens that like to work out and got cute bodies. Now they have cat boy sex siren. How do y'all feel about that category? Now.
A purse? I can say I think all of
them. I really don't. If it's Disney or Lucky, then I see the category.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I only have a house member that only two people that I like for that category. I don't like anybody else for walking that category. So
yes, I don't like anybody else for that category but Disney or Lucky. I don't like anybody
right.
else for the category.
That was it. It's not a big deal with me. If I don't see either one of them two, then I really don't care.
Well, can I ask a question? Don't we think, okay, I can respect that y'all got those that y'all like, but don't we think that if anybody takes the time to work out and make their body nice, whether they're feminine or masculine, that they should have the right to come out and compete and show up there just like anyone who thinks they love me or anyone?
I would never chop them because I don't see them in that way. They will get their tens me if they're in a category. If they're in a category, they're definitely going to get their tens, and I'm definitely going to appreciate them for what they do. But, you know,
But the cat boy is that because remember from the origination of the category, it was about a little realness in there. You had to have a little face in there. You know what I'm saying? And I think with the cat boy, it was about the feminine swagger. It wasn't about a whole bunch of masculinity. It's about the swagger. But honestly, I forgot all about
Trophy Allure too. He is definitely another one of the cat boys. I definitely do
see. Okay, I thought she was missing one.
But also, I forgot all about Trophy.
I just want to add one thing. From what I know is that Disney doesn't even like to be even placed in the catboy scenario. Yeah, he doesn't. Because he has sat the sex sirens and the body kids down. He has. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, I don't want to be known as catboy sex siren. I just want to be known as sex siren. From what I've actually heard him actually say. You know what I'm saying? And, So I'm just saying about basically how the division is. You know, now, what's the name? Evisu, of course, he falls right into that. And he brings it. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Well, and that brings up a good question that I have. So if anyone is out there listening that isn't saying something, that might clarify. And this is for all of y'all to answer. Do you think that the individual walking should categorize themselves as what they are, or should the judges and the ballroom heads, if you will, be able to clarify what you are? Like you said, this person, Disney, he considers himself to be sex siren. If a lot of other the judges and so forth consider him to be cat boy, who's right there?
I think they should categorize themselves, just like when people are pretty boy realness. They categorize themselves.
Okay.
Right.
Because to me, I can't tell you your vision.
Well, then, with that being said, here's the next question. If you categorize yourself as, let's say, butch queen sex siren versus cat boy sex siren, and the judges see you more as cat boy than butch queen, how are you going to get mad?
They're going to get chopped.
Which is all the determining.
They're
going to
get chopped.
So then we get that right back to that original question that young caller called in and said, how do we, I mean, if we determine ourselves to be that and we don't want to get chopped and we think it's unfair, then wait a minute now. How can I consider myself to be sex siren without the cat boy, and I go out there and the judges say, no, to us, you're cat boy, and you get chopped. Now you're saying everybody's wrong because we don't see what you see. You know, it's a never-ending cycle, so how do we help these people who are calling,
well,
who are listening?
For one, here's again, we need to determine what's the difference between sex siren and cat boy sex siren. Okay, let's take it back to the idea of where cat boy comes from. Tarzan. That's where it evolved from. Tarzan was the movie that the cat boy came from. The cat boys wore very little clothes. They had very seemly, very fat asses. That's what we were looking for. A fat ass boy with a configured body. But what you had to do is you had to have a little jiggle. You had to have a little moon on the back of your back. This is what made you a catty cat boy sex siren. Because those boys in that cat boy tribe at that time in Tarzan's movies had big
plump asses. Okay?
What?
They had worked out body, but they had plump asses, honey. Back in the days, what we really called this was heavenly body. That was the category for feminine butch queens that had big asses. DeAndre Khan used to walk it. Heavenly body. Butch queen, heavenly body. It's not a category that came up too much. It went on in Philadelphia and D.C. and Baltimore and Virginia. That was this, that was the southern category for those girls. But it was a category.
It was a category because they didn't have all this muscular, but it was all this kind of lusciousness. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, a butch queen luscious body.
Toned. Luscious.
Right. Toned body.
Okay.
Now, all the girls, all the butch queens now, they go and get their booty pumped. They're butch queens, but they go get their booty pumped, and they want butch queen sex sirens. I can name a few of them. Okay, not to be funny, but why are you pumping your chest? Why are you a butch queen pumping your face?
Why are you putting any type of, if you're not a femme queen, why are you putting anything in your body like that to you know, just any other? When honestly a gym, any gym, will basically, or a fitness instructor will help you develop what you need to actually develop. But that part is neither, you know, that's more of a personal, that's choice. People do.
Yeah, that is, because you can't determine who should get work and who shouldn't.
But that was one of the categories, of course, the top one was the sex drive and just the origination of it, when it originally was about, honestly, masculinity. You know what I'm saying? And you came out there and you flexed your biceps and your triceps and this and the other. You know, you gave a snarl, you gave an attitude, you know? If anybody's seen an old VHS tape of Jihad or Scorpio, you know what I'm saying, or Chaos or any one of them walking, they gave you, it was like they were walking, it was realness. It was realness, they were naked, and it was sexy. Face was beat, all of that stuff, you know? Jihad used to come out in a motherfucking turban and Versace underwear. You know what I'm saying? And still was the sexiest motherfucker on the face of the planet.
Okay, Derek. Okay, Joseph. Here, I'm going to, let's play a game amongst ourselves, all right?
Okay.
And I'm going to see where everybody goes with this. I'm going to name a category, and I want you to give me one name. Only one name that this person sticks out. When I say this category, the person is an epitome of the category to you. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to give one too. Okay? Let's make it really funky. Femme Queen Face.
Ajene.
Derek?
Yeah, Ajene.
Okay, my epitome was Sarah Mugler. Okay, Butch Queen Runway. Midget.
Marvin Balenciaga.
What did you say, Derek?
I said Charles Balenciaga. Charles Armand.
I like Tiny LaVeija.
Okay. Goes with the three original midgets.
Right,
now. Three original midgets.
All right. Butch Queen Face. Of 1990.
Yes. Wow,
1990, Butch Queen Face, Butch Queen Face, 1990.
Joseph, you're having a problem with this one.
No, I'm not.
No.
Well, I am,
because
I'm going back to
90. 90 is tracks. Butch Queen Face, 1990.
Alan Adonis.
All day long. You can, what other butch queen you know was unstoppable in 1990?
Alan Adonis.
You said 1990, but I go back to that whole 86 factor. I go back to that battle with him and Michael, the first time him and Michael Princess ever met. And it was chaos on that floor.
Let's give another one. Give me your face category butch queen.
Erskine Christian.
Derek?
Say that again, my face what?
Your face, your butch queen face. Your epitome of face. When you said butch queen face, give me a name. Anytime, Eric.
Oh,
Wait, hold on, y'all. We gotta have to save this for next week, honey. We only have 15 seconds left.
12:59, Kelly. You let us run overboard.
Huh?
You let us run overtime, Kelly. You was going to cut it like...
I run overtime, honey, because, you know, I'm sitting here doing my dress, so I wasn't really paying attention to the time. But we got 60 seconds. We got 60 seconds left, honey. We're going to be back.
Everybody,
come out tonight to Vogue Tuesday, honey. It's Kool-Aid's birthday. We're going to celebrate all day tomorrow night on Ladies' Night. All is dedicated to the legendary Alora Jay-Z. Tomorrow is her birthday, so everything is all about her tomorrow.
Wow.
Cabbage.
Go ahead, Derek, you first.
For what? Say it again.
Give your bye-byes.
Oh, goodbye, Forum community.
Joseph?
Mm-hmm. It has been a pleasure talking to all of you guys. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, are you going to say bye or you want me to say my byes now?
Go ahead. You say bye. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. I had a wonderful time in Miami. Steve, I had a wonderful time in Miami. Zola, it was nice seeing you. Everybody in the ballroom community, everybody listening, I want to wish you a wonderful night. I'm going to try to get to Vogue Femme because my kids are trying to get me to go now. Joseph and Kenyatta and Bless and all of them, they're trying to get me to go to the club. So I might be there for Southern's birthday party. But in any clip, if you don't see me, I want to bless everybody. And everybody, please wrap it up. 69% of our community does not know that they're sick. Wrap it up.
Hello.
Please wrap it up. There's nothing wrong with safe sex. As long as it's good safe sex, it's nothing wrong with it. And good night, everybody. And thank you for listening. And tune in next week. Bye-bye. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Joseph.
Bye.
Bye.